We're going to begin this morning with scripture reading. We are not a liturgical church. Do you understand what I mean when I say that sentence? It's not that that's right or wrong. It's just we don't have a lot of formality and liturgy. We're much more community and maybe even casually comfortable as we hear from God. And that's not right or wrong. It's just that's how we are. We're not a liturgical church. But there is a value in doing some liturgical kinds of things. And we're doing that during Advent. I know that I've been to Grandma's church and things like that where everybody just knew when to stand and when to sit. Have you been to that kind of thing? It's because they've been doing it and doing it. And I can remember as a young man thinking, oh, that's so meaningless. They don't even know why they're doing it. But the guy who told them to do that, who originated that liturgy, he knew why they were doing it. They were doing it to show honor to God and to show worship to God. And so through this season of Advent, I'm going to bring to you a Christmas reading each Sunday morning. And not right now, but in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand together. And when you do that, it's a way for you to say, I honor your word, God. It's kind of like if a dignitary were to walk by, we would take off our hats and stand like this. When veterans go by in a parade, you stand and you honor them. What we're doing is we stand together with the reading of scripture at that moment is we're saying, we honor your word, God. So if you would you please stand together out of reverence for God's word and listen as I read to you from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3-5. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley will be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. And at this time, the children may be dismissed, ages 4-7, to go to children's church if they would like to do that. We hope they will do that and enjoy that. I would encourage you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. That is where we're going to be throughout this passage, throughout this scripture rather, and we're going to read it through as we go. We're not going to read it all up front, but we're just going to take a verse at a time and read it right through as we go. Romans 8, and there is always a Bible app event for this. That QR code in the lower right-hand corner of the screen can help you find that if you'd like to zoom in on that and click the link that will help you with your smartphone. A passage that we just read has traditionally become thought of as a Christmas passage. I think that's appropriate. I believe it speaks of the coming of Christ. I believe it speaks of his birth and his reign. And I love those words, every valley will be raised up and every mountain will be made low. I love how kind of when Christ comes, it changes everything. It levels the playing field. You could even say it kind of turns the world upside down. That is what Jesus does. That is what Christ does. He changes things. He changes people. It might be his very favorite thing to do. I'm not sure. But it might be. He likes to transform lives. And that's really one of the best gifts of 2023. Transformed lives. If you are a Christian, and I don't mean a Christian like, yeah, I'm American, I believe in God and Jesus and that stuff. I don't mean that, because honestly, that's not what a Christian is. If you are a Christian who has recognized your own need for Christ and in your heart said, God, I need you to change me. I need to be forgiven. I trust you, Jesus, to have paid for that. I will follow you. If you are a Christian, then transformation is something you're familiar with. You've seen it a lot and you probably long for it even more. Think of your own story and how in your story there are elements of transformation taking place all the time. I mean, my story is not like Doris's. Doris's is not like Rusty's. But they do have elements that are similar. For example, there's a before time, B.C., before Christ, before you met him, before you knew him, before you trusted him. And you think, this is what my life was like before I encountered Jesus. And usually things are a little bit off kilter when you're like that. And then there's the during part of your story, when you had that, wait, what? There's someone who can help me with this? I can be free of this guilt? I need to be free of this shame. Jesus died for me? That's what I need that. Jesus, forgive me. I believe that you died for me. I trust in you. I will follow you. And that's the during part of your story. And then you have this since part of your story. Since I received Christ, things have changed in my life. And I love to hear this after part of the story, because it's my favorite part, because I think that was, in fact, I know that was and is Christ's purpose, to change our lives, to transform. It's kind of his end game. God loves to change lives, to turn us into, the scripture says, the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the likeness of Christ. You think about it, we're going to read these verses in Romans 8, and as we do that, we're going to discuss a little bit of what God likes to change or what he does transform. The passage kind of spells it out. And one of the first things you're going to notice is he changes the way we look at things. He changes our perspective. Look at verse 9. Your Bible's open, right? You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. That phrase, in the realm of the flesh, it's not a literal translation of what Paul says there. He simply says, you're not in the flesh. The NIV has helped us, and I think it's a good help, by saying what he means is the realm of the flesh, because we're still in flesh and blood. I mean, let me check. Yeah, that hurt. It didn't really. I was trying to make you laugh. Thanks, Cheryl. Cheryl gave me a pity laugh. I really appreciate that. I appreciate that. It's not saying that you're not in a human body. You are. But you're not behaving as though you are. Whenever the Bible, whenever the Apostle Paul talks about the flesh, he's talking about our sinful nature, that part of us that struggles to let go of things that we know we should let go of, and we even sometimes want to let go of. He's talking about things like pride. That's the flesh. He's talking about things like anger. That's the flesh. He's talking about things like greed and lust. That's the flesh. Even that little thing, you know, that gossipy story that you want to tell, that's the flesh. There was a time, probably, when you loved those things, or at least you really liked being involved in those things. There may have been a time that you think, I don't know if I could do without those things. Those things are really, they're fun. And even now, as a Christian, you might say, some of those things, they still hold sway, influence in my life. But God transforms you and is transforming you so that those things change. And as you surrender to him, your appetite for those things tends to diminish because of your perspective. You begin to see things differently. Recently, and I'm not going to tell you where, but recently I had a very bad experience with a sandwich at a food place. I went in, and I got the sandwich, and I took a bite of it, and I thought that there might be bubble gum in it. I opened it up. Thanks be to God, there was no bubble gum. So I ate a little more of it, and I'm like, something is desperately wrong with this sandwich, and I threw it away. One way down the road now, I can't really do anything about it, except I got Twitter, X. So I sent a private message. I didn't want to embarrass them publicly. I sent a private message to them, and I explained what had happened. I got this English muffin, and I couldn't even chew it. It just was so bad. It was terrible. I had to throw it away. And they said, well, we'd like your contact information, because we would like to send you a coupon for more. For more? And I love what I replied. It was the last word. They didn't say a word after this. I said, this incident has left me without any appetite for the food produced in any of your facilities. And they knew game was over. Game's over. I don't think I'll ever eat there. Again, I've had several bad experiences. I used to love it, but something changed. My perspective has been transformed. That's the way it is with your spiritual life. There are things you used to love, but your perspective changes. It's transformed by the Spirit of God. You see, being in Christ, knowing that he came from heaven, was born in Bethlehem of a Virgin Mary, and lived an impeccable life, a life without blemish, and then died on a cross for sin, for our sin, that kind of changes my perspective on my sin. And on top of that, you lose your appetite for evil. It doesn't go away completely, at least not yet. But you lose that appetite for evil. I've participated in my fair share of evil. It's not what I thought it was at the time. Transformation. It's one of the best gifts of 2023. This change of viewpoint means that as a believer, you see eternity different, but seeing eternity different doesn't just change eternity for you, it changes today for you. And by the way, being able to look ahead to eternity and order your life based on the reality of what's in your future, that is what psychologists refer to as maturity. Well, a lot of them don't believe in eternity, so they wouldn't say it that way. But they would say that the choice to delay gratification because of a future greater gratification is part of maturing and growing up. I would say as a Christian, it's part of being transformed by the Holy Spirit who changes you. Look at the very next verse. And I'm going to say the very next verse a lot this morning. Look at verse 10. If Christ is in you, then if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Okay, our bodies are subject to death, and it's because of sin. But not just my sin, not just your sin, everyone's sin, from Eve right up till this moment, contributes to the brokenness of this world, even the brokenness of our bodies. But the transformation that comes with knowing Christ changes your perspective on that. Verse 11 shows how it changes you in regard to death. It says, and if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because your Spirit, his Spirit rather, lives in you. So death doesn't have the last word. Death is defeated. Death is almost irrelevant. And that fact, when you have a hold of it, that change in perspective does the kind of thing that Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 43. It turns everything upside down. It doesn't just change the future. It changes me right now. It changes you right now. Because this very promise of having eternal life frees me from a lot of the things that hold on to me in this life. Kind of a need to be this person or do this thing or, wow, I only have this much time, is set aside. And this transformation changes who I am. It's one of the best gifts of 2023. And as you experience this transformation in perspective, it also changes your lifestyle. The very next verse, verse 12. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. Now, think of that phrase that the Bible uses. Putting the deeds of flesh to death. That's pretty strong language. Paul, couldn't you have said something like this? You know, if you just don't make the deeds of the flesh a priority, then you will live. Paul, could you maybe have said this? If you take the deeds of flesh and put them on a back burner, you know, or put them in a trunk, go down the highway there, that'll be good. Do that. He doesn't say that. He says you put them to death. Put them to death. I think he uses that language because I think God wants us to know that these are really important things to deal with in our life. To not just say, hey, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, lived this perfect life, died on a cross for me, and I am good to go. See in heaven, Jesus. But to address the transformation that he desires to make in us, I think it's almost a dire thing in Paul's mind that we do this. You know, according to the National Park Service, 85% of forest fires are caused by people. That 15% are caused by nature, the rest of them, We do that. And we do it by maybe leaving campfires unattended, burning debris and not guarding it, negligently tossing a cigarette out the window, something like that. 85%. So, you know, you don't have to know math to say, wow, we could eliminate well over half of the forest fires if we would just put a little effort forward and stomp those fires out, or stomp that cigarette out, or stomp that campfire out. I have a fireplace in my backyard. Eric, you were there one time. We were outside around my fireplace, and you know, I live in town. It's an encased thing. It's got like a screen mesh thing on it and a little chimney that the smoke goes around. And, you know, we're sitting there most of the guys have left. Eric's still there. And I looked and I said to Eric, I said, what do you think? That's pretty well burned down. You think I should just leave it? You remember what you said? I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't either. I've done that before. I walk inside, I get the whole way half across the kitchen before I walk back out because I can't just leave it. So then I turned on the hose and I got it all wet and put it all out so that I didn't burn down the city of Kerwinsville, right? Yeah. I do stuff like that dutifully. I got to do that. I do it thoroughly. I poured it on until I could touch it with my hand and it didn't get burned. I take that responsibility seriously. Putting to death the deeds of the flesh is stomping out a fire that is in your life. But listen, it is not a burdensome responsibility. You know, we were talking over the past year on Sunday nights, we talked a lot about Jesus' words in Matthew 11:28. And the Sunday night thing kind of bled over into the morning service. I talked to you a lot about it last year. Jesus is talking in 11:28, and he says these words. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you are working up a sweat trying to put to death the deeds of the flesh, you're doing it wrong. We live this new lifestyle, not by our own striving, but we live this new lifestyle by living in the Spirit. In a few weeks, people are going to be talking about New Year's resolutions. Those are good things, but they are not the way you dispose of the deeds of the flesh. I once heard a gentleman, he said to me in a previous congregation I was in, he said, I never have New Year's resolutions. Those are wrong. And I said, why? Why? And what happened is when I investigated, he heard a preacher say these words. He heard a preacher say something like this. So I don't do New Year's resolutions because there's no power in my willpower to overcome the deeds of the flesh. I only can do that by surrendering to the Spirit. And then it is not I who does it. It is he who does it. That's what the guy heard the preacher say, and he decided New Year's resolutions were wrong. They're not wrong. Do them. But I want you to know, this is what's right. You will never overcome the deeds of the flesh in your flesh. You don't have it in you to beat it. The only way it will change is by the presence of the Spirit dwelling in you. I mean, look at the very next verse. Verse 13, we already read it once. It says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Living by the Spirit, that means being consciously aware of His presence in your life. It means that you realize, I really need the Spirit of God to help me deal with this thing in my life. It means that you listen to Him, to what He says as He guides you. You don't make decisions casually and haphazardly. It means that you look to Him to show you how to live well, and you surrender things that you know that this is not what I should be doing, and you give it to Him, and He takes care of it. And you ask Him, you trust Him to give you victory in putting to death the sins of the flesh. And when you do that, it turns the world upside down. Every valley is raised, every mountain is made low, and the rough place becomes level, and the rugged ground becomes a plain, and the glory of God is revealed in you. People see the change. God sees the change. Heaven sees the change. and you see the change. And that is one of the best gifts of 2023 that you could ever hope for. Romans 8 says you even develop a new identity. Hey, you know, we should have taken a praise time in the service today regarding the NFL, regarding the Pittsburgh Steelers. I am filled with praise that I don't have to watch them play today. Wow, what a debacle, huh? I know you non-Steeler fans, you're glorying in it. Just remember, the pleasure you feel now is because of decades of pain. That was cruel, wasn't it? Deans of the flesh right there, they're always on you. I don't know if you're watching football today or not, but whether you're watching football today or hockey today or volleyball or anything that has commercials in it, you're going to see a lot of advertisements. And as you're watching those advertisements, you're going to see those companies are promoting not a product, but themselves and what that product might do for you. It isn't about the merit of the product. It's often about the image that goes with the product. You can see it in insurance companies just by asking yourself, this question: what is the difference between State Farm, Geico, Allstate, Progressive, and Liberty Mutual? And I think most of you say one of them has a lizard, right? Right? It's a gecko. That's what I said. Yeah, what's the difference between them? One of them's advertised by a football player. Is that the difference, really? Yeah. It's really not the product. It's the image and the connection with the product, the identity. Is important. Let me give you a better example. How about trucks? Trucks and big SUVs. I mean, commercials tell us that the F-150 is the best-selling truck in America. For a while, it was the best-selling vehicle in America. And truck commercials and big SUV commercials, they display who you are if you drive their product. There's one that you're driving in this big SUV or pickup truck or whatever. You're pulling in front of this beautiful building. You get out, you got your tuxedo on. She is dressed to the nines, baby, and you dance your way into the nightclub. You're going to be there, and a valet is taking away your truck. That is not about the truck. That is about your identity. And there's another one where a guy's going out across the field, headed back toward the edge of the woods. He's going to rescue a little colt. It's not about the truck. That's about the image and the identity. They're selling an identity because your identity, they know it. Your identity is crucial to you to discover and own. And if they can give you that one, then they can sell you their product. Let me give you one more illustration. This is a serious question. I want an answer. Let's talk about cologne, perfume. Let's talk about Old Spice. Can anyone tell me what the spice is in Old Spice? Put up your hand if you can. Yeah, right? Yeah, none of us know that. I don't think they know that, right? But you want to be that guy, the Old Spice guy. I want to be that guy. Do you remember the beer, Dos Equis? The most interesting man in the world. Paul, I wanted to be that guy, right? Because they're selling you an image, and here it is, hear it again. Image is important to us. And if we have our image in the right insurance company or the right vehicle that we drive or the right cologne or antiperspirant that we wear, how trivial must our identity really be? How trivial? The reality is that your auto insurance, your truck, your cologne contributes absolutely nothing to who you are. But Jesus Christ contributes everything to who you are. Everything to who you are. It's like Isaiah 43 says, he turns everything upside down. Look at verse 14. The very next verse says, for those who are led by the Spirit are, four words, the children of God. Who are you? I am a child of God. I am in Christ, and so I am his child, God's child. And that reality that as you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a child of God, it transforms you not just naturally, it just makes sense that you would think differently about yourself and your identity if you knew you were a child of God, but even supernaturally, because the Spirit of God is a supernatural person, and he dwells inside of you, and because of that, you have freedom. Freedom that you didn't have before. You're no longer a slave to the flesh. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're free from that kind of bondage and that kind of baggage. You're no longer leery or fearful of being around God and hanging out in his presence. I mean, verse 15 almost sounds like you're cozy with God. You're comfy with him, because it says the Spirit you receive doesn't make you slaves that you should live in fear again, Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, by which we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, man. We talked about Myrtle Zorger. Be praying for her eyes, if you would, whatever that problem is. Myrtle and I are good friends. And we've known each other for almost 30 years. And she came to me one time when Dr. Norris was our district superintendent. And she said, you know, when I go to Mahaffey and Dr. Norris gets up to pray, it bugs me. And I knew why. I've told some of you this before, you're nodding. It bugs me. I said, why does it bug you, Myrtle? Because he doesn't say Father in heaven. He says Dad in heaven. Dad in heaven. I said, yeah. Why does that bug you? Because he's Father. I said, yeah, but Abba, Father, Abba, Father means Daddy, Father. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's right. And Myrtle's not being critical. She's not being mean. She doesn't have a mean bone in her body. She's just talking to her pastor, probably saying things confidentially. She's just talking to her pastor. It just kind of bugs her. And I said to her, I said, Myrtle, Dr. Norris teaches New Testament Greek at a seminary level. I think he knows. She said, yeah, I don't know though. Myrtle, I agree with you. It feels weird to say daddy to God, to call him dad. When Dr. Norris did that, I was like, yeah, I know why he's doing that, but boy, that really feels weird. But honestly, that's how he wants you to regard him, as a loving dad that you can trust, with whom you have familiarity through what you've learned in his word, someone you're not afraid of, but someone you love and respect on every level. That transformation of that new freedom, it's probably the best gift, one of the best gifts of 2023. Let me ask you this. What kind of transformation does God have in mind for you this Advent? You thought that was a rhetorical question, didn't you? What kind of transformation does this God who loves to transform our lives, this God whom we love to have transform our lives, what does he want to do for you and you and you and you this Advent season? From what we've considered today, I think we all can agree that he'd like to change how you see life. The Greek philosopher Socrates, or according to Bill and Ted in their excellent adventure, Socrates, he is credited with having said this sentence. Listen to it. The unexamined life is not worth living. The unexamined life is not worth living. And I think he was on to something. I feel like our hurried life takes away from us opportunity to take a look at our life and ourselves. Because we are so busy squeezing into our lives everything we can possibly imagine, so that what? Why are we doing that? Why are we squeezing into our, I don't know, 70, 80, 90 years of living everything we possibly can, so that what? I have to wonder if the enemy of our soul does not spend a lot of time with our calendar and our schedule. Because if he can do that, then he can prevent us from ever stopping and seeing our lives how they are compared to how they could be. When you have this perspective change that has to do with eternity, I did not verbalize this well earlier in the message. Let me give it a second run. When you have this perspective in your mind that lets you know you're going to live into eternity, that this life is not just this long, it's eternal long, that frees you from the bondage of seeing your life as needing to be packed with every stinking thing I can pack it with, and I'm going to get it in here no matter how miserable it makes me. Right? It frees you from that. And it sets you free. It lets you see your life differently. You only live once. That's a lie. You will live again. Maybe you only live once is true, but it's for the rest of eternity, brother and sister. You don't have to be in bondage to that perspective on life. Best gifts of 2023? Yeah, I think transformation is one of them. On top of that, he doesn't want to just change how you see life. He wants to change how you do life. If your life has not been turned upside down, then I think it's a safe bet to say that is on God's agenda. He's going to turn your life upside down. My wife and I had a little bit of an argument this week. I said, I think I'm going to say Jesus turns your life upside down in my sermon. She said, he doesn't. He turns it right side up. You can see the argument, right? Yeah. It is upside down. He does turn it right side up. If he hasn't done that yet, it's on his agenda to do that. Every valley will be raised up. Every hill will be made low. He's going to turn it upside down. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And why is he doing this? Because then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together in you, in your life. Wow. God wants to transform how you do life so his glory will be shown in you. I can't think of a higher honor than that, you know? Every now and then someone maybe gets the opportunity to sing at, I don't know, at a baseball game. Our band got to play at the Steeler game. They'll probably be looking for anybody to play for them soon. And I mean on the field. The high school band could play on a field. It's been a rough week. Every now and then someone will get that opportunity to play at a place like that. And they hold their head high. They feel like, what an opportunity this is. Or can you imagine if you got to lead the prayer at the White House or in Congress sometime? What an opportunity. Or to do the prayer at an inauguration of a head of state. What an opportunity that is. You are given the opportunity to show people and heaven and earth the transforming power of Jesus Christ. It's one of the best gifts you'll ever get in 2023, or any time, for that matter. Yeah. Look for God to transform how you see life, how you do life, and how you view yourself. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new has come. Do you want to think about this identity thing for a minute? I have an idea. Since there are no important teams playing in football today, or even if you feel there are, I want to make a suggestion that at halftime or sometime this afternoon, you put your life on pause. All the busy things you're sticking into your life, set them aside for a minute. No one will die. Set them aside for a moment. And get alone with a Bible, a paper Bible, a digital Bible, I don't care. And look up this passage that we're moving through during Advent, this Romans 8 passage. Just open to Romans 8 and begin with the first verse. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Read that verse. Count to 10. Think about what it means to you. And then go to verse 2 and read that. Count to 10. Think about what that says about you. And then verse 3. And all the way down, I think there's 32 verses maybe in that chapter. So you're going to have to give yourself 20 minutes probably to do this. And just spend a little time and say, Spirit of God, help me see the transformation that you purchased, that Jesus purchased for me with his blood. Help me see how you are implementing it in my heart. Help me hold on to, grab hold of and hold on to one of the best gifts of 2023, or for all time for that matter, transformation. I'm going to pray that you could do that. So if you're comfortable doing so, let's stand together and we'll pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your great love for us. We are thankful for this time to be together. We are thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God, because he's coming to change everything. I thank you, Jesus, for changing, making possible these changes in this world and in our very lives. I pray, Father, that as we give thought to this important passage of Scripture, we would see that you're not looking to just make us Christians so we have a crutch to lean on so we can eke out our life with minimal misery. But you, Jesus, have died for our sins that we could walk in forgiveness and newness of life, and you want to change who we are from deep inside the core of our being so that we can walk as individuals, not eking out an existence, but rather living fully, displaying the Christ-likeness that you want to move us to. You have said that those he foreknew, he also predestined to become like the image, the likeness of his Son. This is your will for us in Christ Jesus. Make it happen by the power of the Spirit living in our lives. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.